This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 8th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Dave Hastings. He's at Midwest Grain in Bloomington. In agricultural news, the U.S. says, oops, we didn't mean to send that meat to you. And South Korea says, okay, but Tyson and Cargill cannot play. Well, at least not just yet. And at least one person expects a knockdown dragout on the floor of the House over proposed commodity payment limits. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then we'll hear from U of I Extension ag economist Daryl Good. Today we'll explore the differences between the way biofuels are supporting the corn and the soybean market. Well, don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center will join us to take a complete look at the weekend agricultural weather forecast right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, June the 8th, wheat futures finished the day like this. They were up 3 cents at $5.27.5. September at $5.42.5, up 1.25. And December wheat futures up 2.25 at $5.56.5. July corn futures were off 2.75 today at $3.82 on their settlement price. September at $3.90.25, down 3.25. And the new crop December at $3.92.25 a bushel were off 1.25. July soybean futures 10.5 cents lower at $8.21.5. The August at $8.29, down 10.75. And November soybeans were down a dime at $8.54.5. July bean meal futures were unchanged at $226.20, and July bean oil at $35.37, down 0.99. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange, a 65-cent loss at $108.20. June live cattle at a nickel higher at $89.72.5, and the August futures at $89.60 were up 7.5 cents. June lean hog futures were down 22.5 at $72.87.5 a hundredweight. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the July contract at $64.76, down $2.17 at this hour. The August down $2.28 a barrel at $65.46. The CRB at $307.50, that's down 6.42, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average a 91-point gain at this hour at 13,358 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened in Chicago at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Todd. Nice to be back here.
And it's good to have you on board with us. As a farmer, you got enough rainfall or are you still looking?
We're pretty dry in this part of Indiana, as many of the guys in Illinois through Ohio are, and where I'd say we're 3 to 4 inches behind for the season so far.
And your crops are looking how?
When they're small, they can handle it, but we're entering into that time window when we're going to need more water. So I think we're all in the same position here in the Eastern Corn Belt.
Your expectations Monday will be that USDA's numbers won't look nearly as good as they did on Monday this past week in the crop progress report?
Well, it may take a little bit longer to show that effect, Todd. Again, when they're little, I guess maybe they just looking, if they're up and growing, that rates them good to excellent. But certainly, missing this rain today, as many of us did in the East, is going to start to show the effects. And yesterday, that extreme wind really took a lot out of the crop, I think. Those windy days are pretty hard to make up for that moisture loss.
And then let's talk a little bit about what happened to the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange today. From the board, futures in the bean pit took some pretty heavy losses after good gains all week long. But they managed to come back and not take the losses as deep as they had earlier in the day.
Yeah, the palm oil market took the beans down hard early. Those two markets kind of been tracking each other. But I think, again, as you kind of mentioned there, it's a pretty decent performance as hard down as we were early in the day. And, you know, we have USDA report coming up Monday. Probably some profit taken in those corn and bean market before the report on Monday also.
Do you track the palm oil much? I've got a couple of questions, but only if you've been watching it.
Well, mostly from the information we get from the guys in Chicago, and their attitude is that, a real tight correlation this year with beans following that market. But I guess, you know, we set some all-time record highs yesterday possibly in the palm, and, you know, a big correction today on, you know, same thing, profit taking.
Yeah, that was really just the question, was because after we had record highs and a big move and no real correction in sight until today, I wondered if this was just that, nearly a breather or a correction. And are they thinking that's the case? Sometimes it can turn around, but I'm wondering what the guys in Chicago are saying about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at that particular commodity, palm oil, and all the other commodities, and wheat had some signs of that today. The difference between too much and not enough is a very fine line in today's world, and we're living in a just-in-time society, and sometimes you can get too close to the edge, and those buyers who need the product, that's what we see, I think, these sharp jumps on certain days. Those guys who need it decide we better buy it because we need it to use it.
I think it was Dale Durkles who told us yesterday maybe that beans don't spend much time in the $8, between $8 and $9, and that they either drop back quickly or they make a run for $9. I suppose most people think that $9 is in the offing. Are you in that camp?
I think so, Todd. I think this market, again, would be looking down the road. If we do have some yield reduction, and corn's being mainly talked about now, but if the beans in the eastern corn belt and the delta in the southeast where it's dry, if those yield drop back a couple bushel, I've seen some numbers that would tighten the carry out pretty tight going, you know, into the winter and 08 and spring of 08.
And $9 really isn't, given how fast and furious beans can move, is not too terribly far away. What, we lost a dime today and we're at 854.5 in the noves. So just a 50-cent move in the bean market could put you in the $9 range. Have you thought about making any cash sales on your beans?
I think you got to divide the which side of the Mississippi you're on. The guys we work with in the eastern side of the country are getting hesitant to move anything until they see some rain. Another positive, I guess, or another thing to watch out for as a producer is the basis. If we have a poor or a mediocre crop in the eastern Corn Belt, our basis on this side will get very, very tight. So I suggested this morning that, again, a put option is probably a better strategy for an eastern Corn Belt farmer with what kind of weather we're seeing right now.
You know, they get reticent to move. Is that because they're already sold up to the point that they really are fearful that they wouldn't have the crop? And has that point changed very much in the last decade, so that maybe 20% or 25% a decade or 20 years ago was as far as you really dared go, but that the crops really can respond much better under dry conditions today, and that might be higher than it used to be?
Well, I think guys have done a pretty good job of making some new crop sales. Obviously, the levels we're at of, you know, good money and good opportunity. So I think most guys that we work with have sold up to a level that they're comfortable with, but certainly if it kept in the dry pattern we're in for another 30 or 40 days, even though the hybrids are better, and I think we'd be better off than we were, say, in the earlier droughts we might have had many years ago, it's all proportional to you're not going to have as great a crop as you might have had, you know, and you got to be a little bit conservative on how much you're going to forward sell. And I think basis is certainly, you know, part of that, again, because the basis can go from beans maybe 30 under right now to 30 cent. You know, they could go to even money if it really is crop issues here in the east continue.
It really is about watching basis at the moment in the beans, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And then how about in the corn pit?
The corn market seems to be looking down the road, and, you know, it's one of the wettest droughts you've ever seen. In other words, we keep having these rain systems come through, the trade looks at that and goes, well, how can you say it's, you know, having issues, but it just doesn't rain like any quantities, and it's very scattered. And starting to see some traders and some other folks in Chicago say exactly that. We see the rain potential, but it never does fill the rain gauge. So I think if we go another week or two without filling the rain gauges, we're going to see this market break out to the upside. It's attempted to do it, but many more weeks of this, we're going to see the market break out, would be our opinion.
And we have to break through what? The high from yesterday, was it 394 in the December?
That's the first point to go on through. And then getting above $4 would probably give us a run to the old highs. And then it's kind of a week-by-week thing. If we take out the old highs, then, you know, we're probably off to the races, and the market's going to suggest that this crop isn't, you know, as good in the East. And I think really the Illinois, you know, crop, corn crop is the key, Todd. Indiana and Ohio, not as many acres. Certainly Ohio, you know, not the big corn-producing state. But if Illinois has some problems like 205 and has a mediocre yield, that's the catalyst, I think, and what I've talked to other folks in making this market get excited.
And finally, let's round it out with a livestock discussion just a bit. Bean meal futures managed to rally finally along with the bean oil. That may be a sign that at least the livestock producers, especially the poultry producers, have decided they can live with the price of corn in that 350 to 370, 390 range. Will they start to back off, do you think?
I don't think so. I think we're, you know, it's an equilibrium. They're getting a good money on the other side. The hogs and cattle guys are still making some profit. They've kind of learned to deal with this. You know, it's kind of like the consumer on gasoline. You know, we kind of complain about it, but so far we're coping with it. And overall, it's kind of an average price, you know. I mean, if you bought some of your inputs earlier and you can average it out, and if we can keep the live market up high enough, I think the livestock guys, we don't see any questions from guys that are, you know, looking to liquidate or get out. They're coping with it, and they seem content at this point to try to work through this whole equation.
Chuck, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
You too. Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us here on Friday afternoon, filling in for his partner there, Mike Zuzaloff at Risk Management Commodities.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now at the bottom of there, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Steve Hilberg should join us. Our own Mike Sola forecast for the two-state region has gotten very simple from yesterday's forecast, of course. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows will range from 46 in northwestern Illinois to 62 in the southern part of Indiana. Tomorrow, a few weather cumulus clouds during the afternoon. Otherwise, sunny. Highs will range tomorrow in near 70 around Lake Michigan to 85 in the far south. And then the extended forecast calls for dry concerns to grow into next week, with rain totals reduced for some areas from east central Illinois through southern Indiana. Mike says current models indicate rain totals over the next 2 weeks might be as low as 3/4 of an inch in eastern Illinois. Dave Dickey is here now. He has a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, South Korea lifted a de facto ban on U.S. beef imports today after the U.S. confirmed two shipments meant for domestic consumption were mistakenly exported. In a statement today, South Korea said it will lift its suspension of issuing quarantine certificates effective immediately. Without the certificates, no meat can pass South Korean custom inspections. South Korea also said it will continue to keep its ban on Tyson and Cargill until it receives satisfactory explanation of how banned beef arrived on South Korean shores. Tyson and Cargill say they did not export the meat, but sold it to Amex International, which shipped it abroad. The chairman of the House Ag Committee says he expects a big floor fight on commodity payment limits. And Colin Peterson adds that conservation is also squarely in the crosshairs of payment caps.
We are right now actively working on expanding the payment limits. beyond the commodity title. And I think it's pretty safe to say that we will have, whatever the payment limits are, they will apply across the board, not only to commodity title, but to conservation programs.
Peterson also wants to end crop payments on tiny farms.
2006, we had 255,000 farms that had base acres of 10 acres or less. These folks are not really farmers.
Peterson says he will propose a 20-acre threshold for farm program payments. Members of a House Agriculture Subcommittee yesterday voted to return border inspection duties to USDA instead of the Homeland Security Department. If approved, USDA would be responsible for keeping plant and livestock pests and disease out of the U.S. USDA Deputy Secretary Chuck Connor says USDA is opposed to the plan because it makes better sense to keep all border inspections in one agency. Lawmakers have expressed dissatisfaction since agricultural import inspections shifted to Homeland Security, suggesting inspectors are not doing the job. And the Taiwanese Agricultural Goodwill Mission has signed a letter of intent with the U.S. Grains Council, committing to purchase 7.5 to 10 million metric tons, or about 295 to 394 million bushels of U.S. corn in 2008 and 2009. The latest deal adds distillers' dried grains with solubles to the mix of their purchases. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org, willag.org. There, after about 6 p.m. Central Time this evening, you can pick up tomorrow's Commodity Week. It airs at 11:30 on the radio station. We'll record at 4:30 on Friday afternoons. Tommy Schuff, independent CBOT trader, Chicago Board of Trade trader, will be with us this afternoon, along with Paul Cooley and Wayne Nelson. Should be a great show. Be with us either on the air at 11:30 a.m. tomorrow morning or on the website at willag.org. Well, up next, you know that soybeans have been rallying this past week, and corn as well. But while those two markets have been running in tandem, there are some very important differences underlying the price increases. Darrell Good explains why. The thing that's the same in the corn, the soybean, and maybe even the wheat market is demand from the biofuels industry. All three crops can and are being used to supplement the global fuel supply. We don't often hear about this in the wheat market, but there are wheat ethanol plants in Europe. Now back to the price rally in corn and soybeans. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says the difference lies in the demand source. Corn prices have remained strong on the domestic demand in the brand new corn ethanol market. It's expected to use about 25% of the corn crop now in the ground. It is a homegrown market for U.S. corn. The price hikes in the bean complex are wholly different. In fact, they have not really even come because of demand for soybeans or one of the products produced from the bean, soybean oil. The price hikes, says Darrell Good, are hinged to demand for palm oil. It is being used in the global market to make biodiesel, and that makes the two rallies, corn and soybeans, different.
Well, I think it is a little bit different in that corn is being driven by domestic demand for ethanol primarily, and where soybeans is being driven not so much by demand for soybean oil, but by demand for other vegetable oils. And the other little tweak on that is that the thought all along has been, okay, if the U.S. is going to grow more corn for ethanol, then we're going to be dependent on South America to increase soybean production. And now what's happened here recently is the Brazilian currency is really very weak relative to the dollar. fertilizer costs have gone up, so their production costs have increasing. And now the market's saying it may take a higher price than we thought to get South America to grow more soybeans. So that's beginning to play into the equation as well.
An equation that has certainly changed the commodity markets for the moment. They are adjusting to the tangible increase in demand for corn, the intangible increase in demand for soybeans, and the balance those two crops must find on the farmers' fields across the globe. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
While many other radio stations have eliminated or severely cut back on the agricultural service they provide, WILL has made an even stronger commitment to our ag services. This is Les Schulte, Director of Corporate Support. If this information is important to your business and customers, consider supporting this station with your dollars. Call 217-333-0850 for more information on the business programs available for you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. It is a Friday afternoon, June the 8th, and Dave Hastings of the Midwest Grain in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us for our look at the cash grain market. Thanks for filling in this afternoon, Dave. We appreciate it much.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the marketplace on the cash grain side there in Bloomington.
Well, basis levels this week have been almost as volatile as what the board has been. We saw corn basis get pretty tight early in the week on ethanol and feeder demand. And late in the week, apparently they found everything they needed. But the real problem is that the eastern and western, the western ethanol and the eastern feeder markets have been supporting basis values. The center Gulf export values have been weak at best because all the export generally is going to Pacific Rim nations, which is going out the Pacific Northwest area. So we've just not had a lot of export business going out of the Gulf, and that's kept the center U.S. basis on the defensive.
Is there any good explanation for why the business isn't happening out of the Gulf, or is it Europe that's simply not purchasing, or other places?
Ocean freight values have favored going out of the Pacific Northwest.
So it's primarily being shipped to Asia, Japan, China,
yes,
those places.
Right,
then.
There you go.
So, would they normally buy out of the center Gulf though, or not?
They normally would, Todd, but with ocean freight values favoring the Pacific Northwest, they're just coming out of there now.
And this probably has to do with the price of fuel more than anything else.
That and ocean going vessels. I don't keep up well enough to know what influences those values, but we saw it come and go a couple times last year the same way.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether it was a remnant of Katrina, but it doesn't sound like it ought to be.
No, it's a typical valuation of freight on the ocean transportation system worldwide.
How bad has the basis been for soybeans?
Well, it wasn't bad, but it got bad. We've seen just a total lack of export demand on beans. We had pretty good demand early in the year, and here lately it's pretty well peeled off. South America's taking care of the world export interests. So we've not had any influence from the export markets. The processors have been left to buy whatever beans were available, and every time they stuck their heads up, if they needed some quantity, they would get it. And we're seeing the clock ticking down, Todd. We're going to have a 600 million carryout at the end of the year. And commercials are very well aware of that. So they were trying to get rid of the elevators. We're trying to get rid of the bean stocks to make space for this fall. And we've just seen a big movement of beans here in the last week or so.
And your bids for the day?
Corn at Paxton, we're at 371 this afternoon. New crop is 363. For soybeans, our nearby soybean bid is 782. And new crop beans are 821. And our wheat bid for fall is $5.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd, for having me.
Uh-huh. Dave Hastings filling in this afternoon for Bruce Bostard, who's away. Dave, of course, is with Midwest Grain in Bloomington, Illinois. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather. Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center will join us. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Champaign's police chief says the man accused of shooting and wounding three officers near Westside Park last night has a prior criminal history, including gun-related offenses. In an afternoon news conference, R.T. Finney also said officers had prior contact with 46-year-old Donald Clemens, who they say had been living out of his car for the last couple of years. He's in critical condition this afternoon with multiple gunshot wounds and faces counts of attempted murder and aggravated discharge of a firearm. Meanwhile, Officer Shannon Bridges is recovering from gunshot wounds to the shoulder and chest area. She's in stable condition with non-life-threatening injuries. Deputy Chief John Murphy and Officer Jack Armstrong were both released from Carl Hospital last night. All the officers were wearing body armor. Autopsies will be scheduled for two people whose bodies were found outside a house in the Vermilion County village of Georgetown. Police believe the shooting deaths of 18-year-old Jessica Stanton and 24-year-old Darren Hammer were a murder-suicide. They say the two had broken off a romantic relationship and had been involved in what they call a verbal altercation when Hammer came to Stanton's home early this morning with an assault rifle. Police say Hammer shot Stanton several times, then turned the gun on himself. Police say there was no prior indication of violence between the two. The Indiana Parole Board considers clemency today for Michael Lambert, who's scheduled to die next week for the 1990 murder of a Muncie police officer. The board will make its recommendation to Governor Mitch Daniels. Champaign County Police will make use of an empty county courthouse this weekend for a training exercise. Squad cars will surround the courthouse in Urbana Sunday afternoon as SWAT team members familiarize themselves with the layout of the complex and take part in an undisclosed scenario. The drill's coordinator says previous violent incidents at the courthouse underline the importance of knowing the building. Repair crews are still working to restore power to thousands of utility customers in Illinois after intense wind and thunderstorms blew across the state yesterday. About 7,000 ComEd customers in northern Illinois are still without power. And in southern Illinois, Ameren spokesman Lee Morris says crews are working to restore power to about 4,500 customers in the Carbondale and Marion areas. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center joins us now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of Midwestern ag weather. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We wanted rain. It doesn't look like everybody got any.
No, not everybody did. In fact, the folks that got it were rather limited. They got a lot up in a very narrow band up in northern and northeastern Illinois. Earlier today, Lake County, Illinois, was under a flash flood watch or warning, actually, because of up to 3 inches of rain that fell in parts of Lake County. Strangely enough, very little, if anything, fell in Cook County and surrounding counties out to the west. But the big winners this time around was southern Illinois, down in Williamson, Hardin, Pope counties, far southern Illinois. Radar indications are there could have been up to 3 inches of rain in area with a general probably 1 to 1.5 inch rain. And that also carried off into southern Indiana, and now, of course, a squall line is now moving through eastern Indiana, Ohio, and central Kentucky right now, which those areas have been dry, too, so this is going to be very welcome rain for them.
Welcome rain. It would have made the weekend just beautiful and green as it is. It still will be a very nice weekend, I think.
Yeah, it looks like it. We're going to get some cooler air in here with this front coming through. And that will lend itself to a very nice weekend as high pressure moves over us. That high will gradually move off to the east over the weekend and early next week, and we'll start to get into some weak southerly flow. That'll bring back temperatures, push them back up again into the 80s, and also some increase in humidity. Looks like our next best chances for any kind of significant rainfall is probably the latter half of next week, and it looks like scattered showers and thunderstorms across the state, perhaps Wednesday on into the weekend. Emphasis on the scattered. Again, it's a situation where not everybody's going to get something, but some folks will get some good amounts.
And speaking of scattered and how much rainfall we have had, how do we fare so far this spring across a good portion of the Midwest?
Well, it's a really the Midwest, and in general, if you go west of the Mississippi River, in some cases they have too much water. There's a lot of precipitation that's fallen out in the western Midwest. If you go from Mississippi on east and southeast, basically from central Illinois on southward, things aren't quite as good. It's been quite dry there, and we do have deficits. Of course, May was a very dry month, and so we're hoping that we can make up for that in June and perhaps even in July. But the southeastern half of the region has been rather dry, while basically the northwestern half has done pretty well.
We appreciate you being with us today,
Steve.
All right,
Todd.
Steve Hilberg is with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center here at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign County, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. If you just can't wait, you can pick it up off our website after 6 o'clock this evening, Central Time, at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. While you're there, remember to subscribe for our weekend newsletter. It's free. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great weekend.